Welcome to Food for Thought, sponsored by Carlson Laboratories. Listen now as your host, Jolie Root, sifts through medical research and expert opinions for practical advice to help you take control of your health naturally and live well every day. And now, here's your host, Jolie Root.
Good morning and welcome to Food for Thought. I've got some great information to share with you today. We're going to be talking about nutritional interventions for people who deal with chronic stress. And I'm also going to be talking about how to keep your heart fit. Fitness for the heart. We talk about fitness for the rest of our body, but don't you want your heart to be fit? Your heart should be fit. So stress and heart fitness are my topics today, but I want to share some news. There was one thing that really, really bugged me, and it's a second report of this same situation. Last year we had the first look at this, and that is Tylenol use during pregnancy. Moms are told to take Tylenol if they experience pain during pregnancy. But here we go with a real warning. Tylenol use during pregnancy may increase attention deficit hyperactivity disorder risk for the children of those pregnancies. Physicians are trying to dismiss this. The manufacturers of drugs using acetaminophen are trying to dismiss this. But this is a very worrisome report. It was just published in JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association's Pediatrics Journal. They found that Tylenol, acetaminophen, taken by women during their pregnancy, raises the risk of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and similar disorders, because that's really part of a whole spectrum of issues that some children face, and it raises the risk up to 40%, the risk being higher if the mother is a mother who uses acetaminophen more frequently. Acetaminophen crosses the placental barrier. It's plausible that that drug might interrupt fetal brain development by interfering with maternal hormones or because of neurotoxicity. Now, we know that infections during pregnancy, like mom gets the flu, that affects the brain development of infants. Infections during pregnancy are linked to autism. So the researchers in this JAMA pediatric study asked women if they were taking the acetaminophen to reduce a fever or to treat flu symptoms. But even if they did have a fever or they did have the flu, the women that took acetaminophen were more likely to have children who would later be diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And as I said, this isn't the first study to pinpoint this connection. And I personally think that acetaminophen is a toxic medication. It's very challenging to the livers of people that take it. There was a study that was published late last year that showed that women taking acetaminophen during pregnancy increased the risk of their children having serious behavior problems at age 3 by 70%. Now, you know, what really bugs me is that conventional physicians are dismissing this study, saying that the cause and effect relationship hasn't been proven. And from an editorial in that same pediatric journal, they said, we don't recommend a change in practice. We don't think we know anything safer than acetaminophen. Nothing safer than acetaminophen? Every year, 78,000 people go to an emergency room from either intentional, because you can commit suicide with acetaminophen, or accidental acetaminophen overdose. 33,000 of them are hospitalized. About 450 of those people die. FDA has asked doctors to stop prescribing medications that have more than 325 milligrams of acetaminophen per dose. Doctors are saying, well, you only take it once or twice. Well, that's not true. Some people take it repeatedly, and the risks increase when you take it repeatedly. If not surprisingly, the manufacturer is denying accountability. They say we need randomized controlled studies to demonstrate a causal link. Well, good luck with that, because it's really very difficult to enroll pregnant people into randomized controlled studies when the potential for harm to the baby might be one of the outcomes. There was a lack of causal evidence cited for the relationship between smoking and cancer also back in the day. Acetaminophen for many years was the leading cause of acute liver failure in Americans. Twice the maximum safe dose taken over just a few days can cause severe liver damage, sometimes requiring a new liver replacement, organ replacement. So I think that we just need to tell our young mothers to be that acetaminophen is not a drug to take during pregnancy. Here's another thing for moms that already have their babies. High acid drinks can permanently damage young people's teeth. The damage to the tooth enamel occurs within the first 30 seconds of the high acidity coming into contact with the teeth, so brushing is too late. Drinks with high acidic content can cause permanent damage to teeth in 30 seconds. So what are we talking about? Soft drinks, fruit juice, and sports drinks. I hope my young fan club is listening to me. Actually, one of them has gone off to kindergarten. She's outgrown the ability to be home during her Aunt Jolie's radio show now. So I don't think Finley's listening. But Rowan and Declan, are you listening? Soft drinks are very bad for your teeth. Water. Water, babies. So it's a triple threat, they say. Soft drinks, fruit juice, sports drinks. And that goes together with nighttime tooth grinding and also reflux. Imagine young children having reflux, but a lot of them do. And that brings stomach acid up into the mouth. And that just is really, really destructive to teeth. But since the high acidity drinks do the damage immediately, it's probably a good idea to avoid them. Never mind the sugar, never mind all the other issues to avoid them. Dental erosion, that's a problem, so careful with what kids are drinking. This next one will come as no surprise, probably to anyone. This subject right here is one that led my daughter, who's now a junior in university, back in middle school, to say, "Mom, do you ever get tired of saying the same thing over and over again?" Which really made me laugh out loud when she said it. This is about fruits and vegetables. This was in the British Journal of Nutrition. They said that the majority of adults need to double their fruit and vegetable intake. And as no surprise, most adults do not consume enough fruits and vegetables and are missing out on the intake of very important nutrients. A serious shortfall in the consumption of fruit and vegetables worldwide means that most adults need to double their current amounts to meet the World Health Organization dietary recommendations, which is only 5 servings a day. 5 servings, 400 grams. So this is just sad. This is just sad because we don't do it, but there are phytonutrients in the fruits and vegetables that support health and wellness. There's a global need for the increased awareness of the relationship between fruit and vegetable consumption and phytonutrient intakes. And again, you can get the Clean 15. It doesn't have to be organic. I shocked myself actually by buying a big bag of cherries on a trip that I was on, and there were a lot of other things in the basket, including a basket, one of those African market baskets that you see at some of the natural food stores, which I really wanted to bring my veggies in from my veggie garden that I have out in front of my house. So I bought the market basket, and I bought some things for the hotel room, and I bought some water, and I bought different things, and I bought a bag of organic cherries. And it wasn't until I got home from the trip and was dividing the receipt up into those things that were actually travel expenses and those things that I had bought for the house that couldn't be itemized, and I saw that I actually paid $16 for a little bag of cherries. $16. Oh my gosh. The world is getting crazy when cherries cost $16, let me tell you. But that being the case, we can wash the veggies. We can't get rid of all of the pesticide residues, but we can reduce them dramatically by washing fruits and vegetables. And there is the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA. No, it's the Environmental Working Group. I'm sorry. They have a Dirty Dozen and a Clean 15. If you Google Dirty Dozen and Clean 15, you'll see which things really should be organic because of very, very high contamination levels, and which things you can get conventional and not really worry about it. And as a nutritionist, let me just tell you that even if you couldn't afford to buy a single organic product, the benefit of eating a wide variety of fruits and vegetables outweighs the harm of exposure to those chemicals that might be on the fruits and vegetables. And that is the case. So, there are commonly available vegetables and fruits pretty much everywhere. And so most people, if they eat a variety, will get lycopene and alpha carotene and beta carotene and lutein and zeaxanthin. Berries have things like ellagic acid, which is really vital to cell health. Alpha carotene, which I mentioned before, those things are in carrots. But you know what else is in carrots? Calcium. Carrots are pretty high in calcium. So there's so many good reasons, and they're not just for your eyes. Remember Bugs Bunny? You'd eat the carrots so that you'd have sharper vision. It's not just for that. The beta carotene, yes, it in most cases can convert to vitamin A, which does support vision, but beta carotene is also really very important for cell health to, you know, offset some of the toxic influences that happen in reaction to our environment. My last little bit of news, this will come as no surprise to anyone who listens to Food for Thought on a regular basis. Eating more fish was linked to lower cognitive decline in the group of people that are over 65 years old. This is North Carolina, University of North Carolina, and also Duke University published this in the Journal of Nutrition. And what they found was that more fish improves memory, cognitive skills, helps people balance stress, and increases quality of life because of the omega-3s, but also vitamin D, the B vitamins, the amino acids, selenium. So fish is really a very important food for us to include a few times a week. This is Food for Thought. We're going to talk about stress when I get back. So don't change. Stay here with me, and I'll be right back.
Medical scientists worldwide are encouraging people to eat more fish. Most American diets are low in cold water fish that are abundant in important omega-3 oils. DHA and EPA are the vital components of fish oil that provide healthy benefits. Not only are they crucial for brain and vision development, they're very important for cardiovascular health. Carlson, America's leading Norwegian fish oil brand, specializes in both great-tasting soft gels that are easy to swallow and fish oil liquids that don't taste fishy. That's right, Carlson provides the most extensive line of fish oils to meet all your needs. You can take Carlson fish oils with confidence, for Carlson fish oils are tested for purity, potency, and freshness. Ask for Carlson Norwegian fish oils today. That's right. Ask for Carlson Norwegian fish oils today. Have you heard about Carlson Super 2 Daily? No doubt you've heard about the benefits of eating more fish, but most of us don't eat omega-3 rich fish every day. Carlson Super 2 Daily is like having a serving of light tuna when you take your multivitamin. Take your vitamins, minerals, and a dose of HeartSmart omega-3s all in one formula, two soft gels. Carlson Super 2 Daily. It's the perfect foundation for your supplement program. Carlson Super 2 Daily is a comprehensive, balanced formula supplying essential vitamins and minerals in just two easy-to-swallow soft gels. Plus, Carlson Super 2 Daily provides the omega-3s EPA and DHA to support the heart, nerves, brain, and the eyes. Purity, potency, and freshness are always guaranteed. Look for Carlson Super 2 Daily at finer health food stores today.
Welcome back. This is Food for Thought. I'm your host, Jolie Root, and I am a nutritionist, and I talk to a lot of people in the course of my week that are dealing with stress, and who isn't? It's a stressful world that we live in. There are a lot of things that are challenging, and prolonged stress, whether it's a result of mental or emotional upset or due to physical factors like malnutrition or having surgery or exposure to chemicals or being a little too aggressive about your exercise or being sleep deprived, or, you know, the list could go on and on and on about what causes prolonged stress. There are so many, but it results in predictable effects to the body. And that includes increased levels of stress hormones, obviously, like cortisol. It includes a decline in a lot of different aspects of immune system function, things like natural killer cells that help to fight cancer cells, the changes in inflammatory markers, a disruption in gut microflora, the good guy bacteria in the gut that help us digest our food, that help us to help to support immune function. These systemic changes are probably substantial contributors to many of the stress-associated declines in health. But the good news about all of this is that there are a variety of nutritional substances, such as specific vitamins, including ascorbic acid, vitamin C, vitamins B1, thiamine, and B6, and very active forms of pantothenic acid, vitamin B5 and B12, and other nutrients like inositol and PABA, which are generally thought to be part of the B-complex family. They help to allow individuals to sustain an adaptive response and minimize some of the systemic effects of stress. So the question really becomes, which came first, the stress, the stressor, or the nutrient deficit that exaggerates the impact of these external influences on us so that the body perceives stress? Don't you know some people that just seem to fly through the day with the greatest of ease, even though they certainly face many of the same challenges as, say, another person in their environment that just seems put upon all of the time, just seems to really have a hard time with things? I offer that sometimes those people that seem to cruise through things easily are better nourished. I see children that seem to be more stable in challenging environments, and then other children that get sick all the time, that break down and have tantrums. And I very often feel that the tantruming child is probably less well nourished than the child that is seemingly cruising through things with a kind of a better attitude. So there are nutrients that are important for the nervous system and for brain health that play a very strong role in cognitive function, in mood, and yes, in helping us deal with and adapt to stress. And I want to share some studies with you about some of those nutrients to sort of justify me telling you that I think that you ought to take them, because really I'm a nutritionist, so you know where this is going. I'm going to make some suggestions about some of these, particularly B vitamins, that I think are really very important and nutritional support for stress. So B vitamin supplementation has a positive effect on stress and mood. So in one study that was published in a journal of psychosomatic medicine in 2013, researchers evaluated the effect of multiple nutrient supplements that were taken just for 28 days on stress, on mild psychiatric symptoms, and on mood in the general population. And what they found was that supplementation reduced the levels of perceived stress, eased psychiatric symptoms, helped to eliminate fatigue, helped people be less confused and anxious. The only thing that didn't improve significantly with this multi-nutrient supplement was depression. And I would offer that I think that they should have been also giving them omega-3. Remember that I think that omega-3 is a foundational supplement that should be part of everyone's supplement regimen. And so I think if they had been taking a strong omega-3 supplement at the same time, the depression even would have been at least somewhat alleviated. But in this study, the authors concluded that micronutrient supplementation has a beneficial effect on perceived stress and on mild psychiatric symptoms and aspects of everyday mood. And they went further. They said supplements containing meaningful doses of B vitamins may be the most effective in improving adaptation to stress and states that impact mood. Another study looked at reducing work-related stress with a vitamin B complex supplement. In this case, they went a little farther. They actually supplemented for 3 months. And with a high dose B complex, when they say high dose B complex, what they mean is it provided either the full daily value or up to triple the daily value. So when they say high dose in the studies, I chuckle a little bit because I don't think of that as high dose, but they call it high dose even when it's just triple the daily value. What you need to understand is the daily values are set up to avoid deficiency and are really rather small when it comes to the B complex. But nonetheless, 60 participants went through this trial for 3 months. They looked at personality, work demands, mood, anxiety, and strain. Those were things that they were looking at. And the people that were getting the B-complex vitamin treatment had significantly lower personal strain, had a reduction in confusion, had an improvement in mood, and saw a benefit for the occupational stress levels that they... And this was, 12 weeks of supplementation with a B-complex. So that's pretty encouraging. That was 2011 in the journal Psychopharmacology. B vitamins we're talking about. We're not talking about drugs here. So here's another one. Effects of high-dose B vitamin complex with vitamin C on subjective mood and performance in males, and this was during intense mental processing. And what they found was that healthy members of the general population may benefit from augmented levels of vitamins and minerals through direct dietary supplementation. Specifically, supplementation led to improved ratings of stress, mental health, vigor, so vitality, energy, and improved cognitive performance. And during periods of intense mental processing. So what I'm getting at here is that there have been numerous reports of multi-ingredient trials of nutrient combinations that include vitamin C and the B vitamins. Those are the big players helping people adapt to stressful situations and improving the, here's a study dating back to 2000 that said that supplementation subjects that were given a multi-nutrient supplement showed significant improvement on all psychometric measures of stress over a 30-day clinical trial compared to the subjects that were in the placebo group. These were normal, healthy men, and they had significant decreases in anxiety and their perceptions of stress. So sometimes we think that a B complex is sort of like, oh well, how impactful could that be? Well, very impactful. If something gives you significant decreases in anxiety and perceived stress, that's got to make your day quite a bit nicer, don't you think? The question, though, that I asked is, what comes first, the nutrient deficit or the perception of stress? And there was an interesting paper that was published in the Journal of International Medical Research. And what they said was, clinical evidence revealed that marginal deficiencies of one or more micronutrients, and they're talking about the B complex and talking about vitamin C, but also calcium and magnesium, clinical evidence revealed that marginal deficiencies of these nutrients, one or more of these, are not uncommon, even in developed countries, and that such deficiencies may affect cognitive performance, and especially in vulnerable groups that are at the impact of stress and individuals who are exposed to occupational pressures and a stressful lifestyle. So what I'm talking about is nutritional support to help offset the impact of stress. So this is what you want to look for when you're looking for something like that. You've got to be getting vitamin C. I recommend that we all get at least 500 milligrams of vitamin C daily. You could get 2,500 milligrams of vitamin C, but if you're looking for a stress formula, I would look for 500 milligrams of vitamin C. I would also want to be certain that the B complex family was all represented. Niacin is particularly helpful, so I'd look for 100 milligrams of niacin. I would look for pantothenic acid. That's the big one. B5, 200 milligrams would be something I'd be shooting for. Choline and inositol also should be there. Choline is a precursor to acetylcholine and other neurotransmitters that help the brain process information even during very challenging periods. And I'd look for PABA. Inositol and PABA have a very calming influence. And that would be a stress formula that I would think you could probably rely on. That would be something that would support the nervous system, would support brain health, and probably play a pretty good role in alleviating some of your perception of stress. Carlson has one, of course. You know this, my sponsor, NutriSupport Stress. It's an awesome product, just introduced. We'll be right back with more Food for Thought after the break. We're going to talk about keeping your heart fit. And it's not just about omega-3s, so stay with me.
No doubt you've heard a lot about the health benefits of vitamin D. Now you can get your vitamin D in a base of the healthiest omega-3s. Carlson Solar D Gems provides both. Carlson Solar D Gems provides 2,000 to 4,000 IU of all-natural vitamin D3, a vitamin that many people do not get enough of from the sun alone. In fact, many health experts are now claiming that most Americans are lacking in this important nutrient. Vitamin D3 plays an important role in bone, cardiovascular, and immune health. Plus, Carlson's Solar D Gems also contains the important omega-3 oils that your body needs to support vision, brain function, and a healthy heart. The omega-3s support the absorption of the vitamin D. You get the benefits of both. Carlson's Solar D Gems, vitamin D in a base of omega-3s. Look for Carlson's Solar D Gems at your favorite natural food store today. Medical scientists worldwide are encouraging people to eat more fish. And most American diets are low in important omega-3 oils. Omega-3 oils are the vital components of fish that provide numerous health benefits. Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gems supply concentrated amounts of these omega-3 oils that are needed to support vision, brain function, and a healthy heart. Each great-tasting Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gem Soft Gel contains 1,250 milligrams of fish oil from deep, cold-water fish. That supplies a full 800 milligrams of omega-3s, all in only one easy-to-swallow soft gel. You can take Carlson fish oils with confidence, for they are tested for purity, potency, and freshness by an independent FDA-registered laboratory. Ask for Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gems at your favorite natural food retailer today.
Welcome back. This is Food for Thought. I'm your host, Jolie Root. The radio show has a page on Facebook, Food for Thought Radio. You can search that when you're on Facebook and keep up with some of the stories that I put up during the week. There's one that I put on this morning, actually, talking about bee venom and snake venom and how they are looking at how they kill cancer cells. It's really very interesting. The other thing that you can do is my blog, Red Wine, Green Tea, and Dark Chocolate. That is at joliblogs.com, joliblogs.com. If you listen to the radio show over the internet, there's a link there for the show, and there's also a link for my podcast host. If you hear something on the program and you think, I sure would like to hear that again, I put the shows up. My trusty sidekick and awesome producer, Dave, sends me the show, and I put them on the podcast, and you can download them and listen to them. And so that's available also off of my blog. And then Twitter, Jolie Root, J-O-L-I-E-R-O-O-T. When things happen in the world, you hear it first on Twitter, and I do tweet health stories usually early in the morning. So you can keep up with me when I'm not on. I want to talk a little bit about heart fitness, about keeping your heart healthy. And I want to start with the argument that I have with the premise that everything about heart health is about cholesterol, because I've never believed that and I still don't believe it. We've been taught to be phobic over LDL and total cholesterol and HDL, that you know, if we don't have those numbers right, we're going to have clogged arteries, and if the LDL is elevated, it's going to clog the arteries and induce heart attacks. And I don't know that cholesterol is really a true measure of your risk for a fatal heart attack. There's another lipoprotein that I am a little more concerned about, and we never really hear anybody talking about it, and that's lipoprotein A. Lipoproteins, that's what LDL and HDL are. When you get your cholesterol measured and they break those down, that's the low-density lipoproteins and the high-density lipoproteins. But lipoprotein A is another one. It was made famous for a little while back in the 90s through the work really initiating from the laboratories of Linus Pauling. Remember Linus Pauling? A vitamin C researcher. And he was very concerned about lipoprotein A, as I am. Because when you have elevations of lipoprotein A, you are more likely than the next person to have unstable plaque. And unstable plaque is really a threat. Those are vulnerable plaques that can break loose, pieces can break off, and they move through your body and can then result in a heart attack or a pulmonary embolism or a stroke. So when I talk about the deadliness of heart disease, what we really also are talking about is blood vessel disease. So when we talk about keeping the heart fit, we also are talking about keeping blood vessels elastic and stretchy and flexible. And so, You know, when we were talking about stress in the earlier segment, I led with vitamin C, that vitamin C was one of those things that is really important for helping people cope with stress. It shows up in all the multinutrient studies for stress. Well, vitamin C is the natural agent that really prevents unstable plaque. And in the year 2000, there was a landmark study that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine that showed that unstable plaque in the blood vessels, in the arteries, is responsible for most sudden cardiac deaths. So how disconcerting is it that all we ever talk about are statin cholesterol drugs, and we never really talk about vitamin C and the impact that it has on heart and blood vessel health. So I want to fix a little bit of that today and talk about nutrients that come together to support the fitness of the heart. You want a blend of nutrients. You want them to be absorbable. You want it to be specialized and targeted toward heart and blood vessels. And the omega-3s, again, that's a foundational supplement. So we're not going to really necessarily focus on those. I talk about them all the time. You must get your omega-3 index up to 8% or better. In adults, that takes somewhere between 1,000 and 2,500 milligrams of EPA DHA daily, and it takes 4 to 6 months of routine, faithful supplementation. That's a given. I'm assuming you're doing that, so let's talk about these other nutrients that are really critically important for the heart. We're talking about things like vitamin C and vitamin D and vitamin E and magnesium and chromium and potassium and vanadium. That's one I bet you probably never even have heard of, maybe. Well, maybe you have. How about coenzyme Q10? How about the tocotrienols? You know, the other half of the vitamin E family, and cinnamon, and something that I've never mentioned on Food for Thought, not even once. Today's the first, the debut of taro still bean. That's a mouthful, right? And it starts with a P, so that's even worse. If you went to Google it, you'd start it with a T and you'd never find it. Taro still bean is really a very active form of resveratrol. It's an analog, a methylated analog of resveratrol. You need it for a healthy heart. It's really something very important. I've been watching the studies on taro still bean for a few years now. Grapeseed extract. So that's the list. And I want to talk about what they specifically do. Not ad nauseum, you know, I'm not going to give you every study that was ever done, but vitamin C really supports the health of the blood vessels because, why? Because it is, necessary for the body to produce collagen. And Linus Pauling said, the more vitamin C you're taking in, the less lipoprotein A is going to be in your bloodstream. And back to that study in the year 2000, lipoprotein A, elevation is linked with unstable plaques. The New England Journal of Medicine said the more unstable plaques in the arteries, the higher the risk of a fatal heart attack, and it is vitamin C that is the natural agent that prevents unstable plaques because of compromised collagen deposition. And vitamin C deficiency induces a kind of a morphology, a truth about the plaques that makes them vulnerable to rupture. It's the last thing you want. Good old vitamin C. And you thought it was just for colds and flus and immune support. No. Elevated levels of lipoprotein A, which happen when vitamin C is deficient or insufficient intake, can cause atherosclerosis without you having elevated cholesterol. And since adults need to double their intake of fruits and vegetables, where are you getting that vitamin C unless you're getting it in a supplement that supports the fitness of your heart? Vitamin D should be there too. Why? Because it reduces inflammation, specifically C-reactive protein, interleukin-6, tumor necrosis factor A, lipoprotein A. Vitamin D helps to keep that level down. Also, vitamin D boosts HDL, the good cholesterol. Low levels of vitamin D can result in hypercalcemia, which leads to arterial stiffness and an irregular heartbeat. And levels of vitamin D that are below 20 nanograms per milliliter are associated with double risk, double the likelihood of a heart attack or a cardiovascular event compared to levels of 30 nanograms or higher. You gotta get to 30 or better with vitamin D. I talk about it all the time because that's how important it is. When you're down below 20, you have twice the risk for heart attack. So vitamin D would be in a heart fit supplement. Magnesium. Every organ in the body, especially the heart, needs magnesium. It contributes to the activation of thousands of enzymes. It contributes to energy production. It helps to regulate calcium levels. It helps with vitamin D stability. And magnesium specifically helps to maintain a normal heart rhythm. Sometimes it's given intravenously in a hospital to reduce the chance of atrial fibrillation and cardiac arrhythmia, irregular heartbeat. People with congestive heart failure are often at risk for developing those abnormal heart rates. And in a very large study, 8,000 women, they found that higher intake of magnesium decreased the risk of high blood pressure. So magnesium is important. So is potassium. A very important mineral for the proper function of all cells. It's an electrolyte. That's a substance that conducts electricity in the body, along with sodium, magnesium, and the electrolytes regulate heart rhythm. So when they're out of whack, you can be. Your heart rate can get out of whack, and that can precipitate a heart attack. Magnesium is critical to heart function. Potassium. And low levels of potassium are linked with high blood pressure. So potassium for the heart. And then here's a trio for you. Chromium, vanadium, and cinnamon. Why? Because they all help to stabilize blood sugar levels, and they play a role in supporting normal hemoglobin A1C levels. Cinnamon supports cholesterol and triglycerides within the normal range. And when the blood sugar levels are out of whack, when your blood sugar stability is off, when you have an elevated hemoglobin A1C, when you have elevated triglycerides, that's metabolic syndrome. And metabolic syndrome, it's pre-diabetes. You have an increased risk of being diabetic when those values are off. And when you're diabetic, you're at a greatly increased odds of cardiovascular disease. So if you want to keep heart fitness as a goal, you don't want to be diabetic. You don't want to have metabolic syndrome. And that's where the chromium, the vanadium, and the cinnamon play a strong role in balancing those values. This is Food for Thought. I'm talking about keeping your heart fit, and I will be right back after these messages. Stay with me.
It's hard to assure your kids are getting enough nutrients, especially those tricky omega-3s. Kids, in particular, need omega-3 oils in Carlson for Kids cod liver oil because they are crucial for brain and vision development, as well as cardiovascular health. Higher levels of omega-3 fats from fish support better learning. Carlson for Kids cod liver oil supplies 590 milligrams of omega-3 fatty acids in each serving. It has a delicious lemon flavor that kids love. It tastes great on its own or mixed in your child's favorite food or beverage. You can give your children Carlson for Kids cod liver oil with confidence because all Carlson fish oils are tested for purity, potency, and freshness by an independent FDA-registered laboratory. Look for the purity guarantee right on the label. Be sure your children are getting the omega-3s they need with Carlson for Kids cod liver oil. Look for it at your favorite natural food store today.
Yeah.
Concerned about diabetes? Carlson NutriSupport Diabetes is a unique formula containing nutrients that support the health of individuals with diabetes or pre-diabetes. Two easy-to-swallow soft gels supply over 25 nutrients, including important omega-3s from fish oil. Carlson NutriSupport Diabetes supports a healthy heart, brain, and nerves, healthy vision, and healthy circulation. Ask for Carlson NutriSupport Diabetes at finer health food stores today. Or go to carlsonlabs.com to find the location of the store nearest you. Carlson NutriSupport Diabetes. Ask for it today.
Welcome back. This is Food for Thought. I'm your host, Jolie Rood, and I'm talking about keeping your heart fit. I'm talking about the nutrients that together support you, hopefully, having a healthy diet and also getting some exercise and also taking your omega-3s, all of those things, dealing with stress. But coenzyme Q10 is another one that should be in a program for heart fitness. Coenzyme Q10 is an energy molecule, short and simple. It helps the body to produce ATP. And aside from the brain, the heart is an organ that requires a tremendous amount of energy. You've got the brain, the heart, and the liver. Those are the big three. And the heart, what good are you if your heart muscle is weak and very low energy? CoQ10 is also an antioxidant, and it, together with vitamin E, plays a very strong role in protecting LDL cholesterol from being oxidized, which is another way that you can end up with plaque in your blood vessels. So CoQ10, the antioxidants work together as a network. So the vitamin C, the CoQ10, the vitamin E, they're all part of a network of compounds that help to protect the heart. But CoQ10 specifically increases cardiac muscle tone. So the good strength and strong vitality of the heart muscle itself, and also cardiac output, the volume of blood that pumps with each beat of the heart, that's something that CoQ10 supports. So alternative physicians, alternative cardiologists, integrative cardiologists use CoQ10 to help people who have chronic heart failure, where the muscle is failing and where the body doesn't get the circulation that it needs. The volume of blood is not adequate when we are talking about the cardiac output with CoQ10. CoQ10 is the big player for that. And here's the thing. The levels of CoQ10 decline as we age. So in medicine, that cardiac output volume is actually measured. We call it ejection fraction. And depending upon the number, we rate people in heart failure as being in extreme or maybe mild. But CoQ10 is critically important. Antihypertensive, it helps to protect against blood pressure that's too high. And CoQ10 needs to be replaced. The depleted levels occur when people take certain heart medications like statins, the cholesterol-lowering medications, but also blood pressure medications. Some of those deplete CoQ10. So CoQ10 is necessary. The tocotrienols, I mentioned the other half of the vitamin E family. Tocotrienols reduce serum lipids, like total cholesterol and LDL. They raise HDL and the best HDL. They have a very potent antioxidant activity. So, like the other half of the vitamin E, the tocopherols, they are antioxidants, very potent antioxidants. And these are fat-soluble antioxidants that work in the cell membranes. When we're talking about the heart, one of the things that we want to protect is the cell membranes of the heart muscle cells. We'd like them to have lots of omega-3 content, but we need to stabilize the fats in the membranes from peroxidation, from oxidative stress. And that's where the fat-soluble antioxidants play a very strong role. Tocotrienols help to reduce serum levels of C-reactive protein. They help to guard against the accumulation of these compounds called advanced glycation end products. Those are compounds that are formed when sugar damages protein. So high blood sugar, if that was the scenario, circulating through the protein structure of the blood vessel can create these products that we call AGEs, glycation end products, advanced glycation end product, sugar damage. Those are protected against by tocotrienols. And also tocotrienols help to reduce the release of something called cell adhesion molecules, and those are sticky little guys that are inside the blood vessel that are part of the basis of the formation of plaque. Now, the C-reactive protein, that's an inflammatory molecule. Paul Ridker at Harvard said that it's four times worse than cholesterol. And the C-reactive protein lowering impact of tocotrienols is greater than that of the tocopherols. They guard against a number of different inflammatory mediators. Tocotrienols suppress and regress and slow the progression of atherosclerosis, so that development of the plaque in the blood vessels. And they reduce the risk factors for destabilization of those plaques in the blood vessels. So they help to protect against those vulnerable plaques. They're very bioactive compounds that are part of the vitamin E family, and I really recommend the intake of tocotrienols. And then there's pterostilbene. I mentioned it. It's a structural analog of resveratrol. Resveratrol is that thing in grapes or blueberries. Pterostilbene really usually comes from blueberries. And it's in wood, actually. Some of the supplement sources come from trees. It's more stable in the body than resveratrol. It hangs around longer. It has a longer active life. The pterostilbene supports insulin sensitivity and normal blood sugar levels and normal blood lipid levels. And you can't stress enough the importance of normal blood sugar levels and insulin function when we're talking about heart fitness, because having those things out of balance is epidemic in our culture now. I saw a news item this week that said that 40% of adults in Western culture, in North America, will become diabetic during their lifetime. That's terrible. It was bad enough when it was 1 in 3, but 40% is even worse. It just shows you where we're going with the additives in the food supply. Instead of eating basic, real food, all of this sugar, this ridiculous increase in sugar and carbohydrate consumption, is having its impact on our health. So these compounds like pterostilbene that support insulin sensitivity, because what happens when you really overdo the carbohydrates? What happens when you eat sugar? When you eat sugar, your body, the blood sugar goes up. The sugar is digested and the blood sugar levels increase. And the body says, well, too high blood sugar isn't good for me, so I've got to release insulin and get that blood sugar out of circulation and into the cells where we can make some energy. And that's the game plan. And so out goes the insulin. Well, when it happens too much, the cells say, I have enough energy, thank you very much. I don't need you, insulin and glucose. No, thank you. And they say, talk to the hand, basically. And this all happens at the site of insulin receptors on the surface of the cells. And the insulin receptors are the doorways into the cell. And if they say no to the insulin, just say no, I've had too much. We call that insulin resistance. So there are nutrients that improve insulin sensitivity, and that happens to be one of the things that taro steel bean does. So you want it in a heart fitness supplement regimen. And then another thing that it does is it does impact cholesterol. There are these nuclear receptor proteins. I'm going to call them PPARs because their name is so ridiculously long and this is radio, so we're not going there. They function to regulate the expression of genes. They regulate the maturation of cells, cellular differentiation and development. But they also regulate carbohydrate and protein and lipid metabolism. And taro steel bean, this compound that is basically a very stable form of resveratrol, an analog of resveratrol, it impacts the PPARs. And it helps to control against the overexpression of manufacture of cholesterol. And it helps with the metabolism of cholesterol and other lipoproteins. So the taro steel bean actually acts to control against creeping levels of high lipoprotein. There was a study where they had hamsters that had very high cholesterol levels, and they fed them the taro steel bean, and they had a 29% reduction in LDL cholesterol. The HDL, the good one, went up, and they had a 14% reduction in glucose levels in the bloodstream. All of that would be so good. All of that would be so beneficial. And taro steel bean also helps to protect against the thickening of blood vessel walls and restenosis after bypass. So all of those nutrients happen to be present in a formula called HeartFit. And it's a new introduction from my sponsor, Carlson Laboratories. And I thank Carlson for making it possible for me to be on the air and be here with you every week on Food for Thought. That's it for this week. Have a great week, everybody. I'll be back next Friday with another edition of the show. Stay well. Bye-bye.
Been listening to Food for Thought with Jolie Root, sponsored by Carlson Laboratories. Tune in again next time as Jolie Root sifts through medical research and expert opinions for practical advice to help you take control of your health naturally and live well every day. Food for Thought, Fridays at 10 a.m. on 1160 WVNJ.